All right. Amen. Well, at this time, we want to welcome up our amazing speaker. I'm not going to say a guest speaker, Phil, because I feel like you're becoming more than a guest. But this is Pastor Phil Abeda. Amen. If you heard Pastor Phil a couple of weeks ago, he brought an amazing word, and we're so blessed by that. But Pastor Phil has been a pastor here in the area, in the city, for a long time. He pastored over at His Love Fellowship for many moons. And this is his wife, Kathy, and one of his daughters and granddaughters. So great to see you guys. But he's served the city, and he is here to serve us and bless us this morning. Could you reach out a hand as we pray for Pastor Phil and just pray for the Holy Spirit to anoint him today? Father, we thank you so much for our brother and our friend, Phil Abeda, Lord. We just ask that you would bless him today. Holy Spirit, that you would come, that you would speak to us, Lord, that you would minister to us, that you would open up our hearts to receive the things that you have for us. There's something special that you have for us today. And Lord, we don't want to miss it by looking somewhere else, by having our minds racing, thinking about other stuff. Help us to be present with you and present with what you want to do today.
Yes.
Come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you, bro.
Thank you so much, my brother. In case you're wondering why I left my shoes over there, man, during worship, what an amazing time in the presence of the Lord. Amen. And I felt like God was just saying, take off your shoes, for the place you're standing is holy ground. I'm not suggesting everybody take their shoes off. Some of you may go over to sleep. I don't know. So I have been known to put some people to sleep during my sermons, but I just sense the presence of the Lord and in this place, and it is powerful. What an amazing time in God's presence. You know, you are really fortunate and blessed here at Church in the City to have such an amazing worship team. I too, Kathy and I, we go to Redeemer Temple Church in Arvada, and we too have an amazing worship leader. I can't stress the importance of just basking in the presence of the Lord. You know, the Bible says in the presence of the Lord, there's joy forevermore. If you're having a problem with joy, get into God's presence. I don't know what kind of music you like to listen to, but worship music, you ought to dial in and just abandon yourself in his presence. Just like the one of the songs we were singing, let the Holy Spirit consume who you are so that you are lost in his presence. You will not regret it. Amen. Well, Happy New Year, church. I'm here this morning with a New Year's message that I hope will encourage you. I'm not sure how 2024 had its impact on your life. I'm sure that for many of you, it had some amazing times of blessings, times when the Lord was showering you with his love and grace, because that's what the Lord does. He is an amazing God. He is good. And all the time, he is good. Hallelujah. But I'm also sure that there are some of you that went through 2024 experiencing some difficult times. Times you didn't know were coming. Times that the Lord was working in you, on you, and through you. Sometimes we don't realize that it's the difficulties, it's the fires of adversity that brings forth the gold that God has put sown into us, the faith that he has given every one of us. And sometimes that treasure cannot be released unless it's gone through the fires. So maybe 2024 was a difficult one. Well, I got good news for you. The Bible says in Isaiah 43, verses 18 and 19, but forget all that. It's nothing compared to what I'm going to do. This is the Lord speaking. For I'm about to do something new. See, I have already begun. Do you not see it? I will make a pathway through the wilderness. I will create rivers in the dry wasteland. How many want that for 2025? Oh, yeah. All over this room, hands are raised. The Lord says, do you not see it? That's what I want to talk about today. The ability to see what God wants to do in our life. Wouldn't you like a sneak peek into what the Lord's got about to do in 2025? Yeah, I would too. I read or heard somebody say once that those who can see the invisible can receive the impossible. All right, some of you are already latching onto that. Hallelujah. I believe the Lord wants us to see what he's going to do in 2025. I believe he wants us to see what's about to take place so that he could prepare us for whatever comes our way. But we're going to need to have eyes of faith. We're going to need to see the invisible so that we can receive the impossible. How can that happen, you may ask? Well, I'm so glad you did ask. Well, today we're going to first look at a story in God's Word that talks about a man who wanted to see. And then we're going to pray and ask the Lord to give us sight to see. How many want to join me in this? Okay, hallelujah. Please turn in your Bibles to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 18, verses 35 to 43. Excuse me. We're going to look at a story of a man who wanted to see. Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 35. As Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard the crowd going by, he asked, "What was happening?" They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." He called out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Lord, I want to see," he replied. Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your precious word. We thank you that your word is it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our way. Your word allows us to see. Heavenly Father, I pray today that you would give us eyes to see what you're going to do in and through us in this new year that we are in, that we're embarking in. 2025, I believe, is going to be a great year. I believe you're going to do something new and great in our lives. May we be prepared and ready for the work of the Lord that you want to do in and through us. Heavenly Father, we're asking for sight to see. So Lord, bless the reading and the preaching of your word. Give us hearts that would receive what you want to say to us today. We thank you for your love. Consume us with this word, we ask in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen, hallelujah. Well, this morning we're going to take a little closer look to this man's request to see if there's anything we can learn from this blind man that might help us prepare for this upcoming year. So I want to begin with verse 35, and we're going to just break this down. I want to see, and I want you to see what God wants you to be prepared to do. So verse 35, the Bible says, as Jesus approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. This story begins with Jesus and his disciples entering the city of Jericho. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem, the Bible tells us. In fact, if you want to look with me to verses 31 to 34 to understand, why Jesus was headed to Jerusalem, let's look at these verses. Verse 31, Jesus took the 12 aside and told them, "We are going up to Jerusalem, and everything that is written by the prophets about the Son of Man will be fulfilled. He will be delivered over to the Gentiles. They will mock him, insult him, and spit on him. They will flog him and kill him. On the third day, he will rise again." The disciples did not understand any of this. Its meaning was hidden from them, and they did not know what he was talking about. Now, those of you that have experienced the love and forgiveness of Jesus, you understand why Jesus was going to Jerusalem. He was going to the cross. Everything we would need to live this life of abundance and the ability to spend eternity with Jesus would be purchased by his sacrifice on the cross. Oh, wow. Thank you, my brother. God bless you. I wish it was a Pepsi, but this will work. Hallelujah.
By the way, if you've never said yes to Jesus, His invitation to become a member of His family is only a prayer away. You can pray even now and before I finish this sermon. If you want to experience the abundant life that He died to give you, all you need to do is ask.
Well, this is the backstory to what was happening when Jesus came near a blind man sitting on the roadside begging.
By the way, for some of you, maybe 2024 was a difficult year. Maybe you can see yourself in this blind man. Maybe not physically blind, but unable to see the way. Not moving anywhere. Maybe not begging, but in desperate need.
Again, I got good news for you. Jesus is here now for you.
Let's look at verse 36. So the Bible goes on. It says, when he, the blind man, heard the crowd going by, he asked, what's happening?
As Jesus neared the blind man, this blind man heard the commotion of a crowd. Something big was happening.
You may be wondering, how do you know that? Well, he was blind, but he wasn't deaf. Think about it. Everywhere Jesus went, people were healed. People were fed. People were encouraged. Jesus was on the move. He walked on water. He cast out demons.
He calmed the storms. I'm sure this blind man heard about Jesus.
This man who was in need used his hearing to get his miracle. Come on, somebody. He may have been blind, but he still had other senses to use. Jesus once said in Matthew chapter 22, verses 36 to 38, Teacher, which is the most important commandment in the law of Moses? Jesus replied, You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. Living in faith requires us to use our whole being, your heart, your mind, your soul, your strength. Some of you, you're missing out on the blessings of the Lord because you're only relying on your ojos, your eyes. This blind man didn't have eyes that could see, but he had ears to hear. Come on, somebody. Sometimes in worship, during our worship service, I'll just close my eyes. I don't want to watch Simon or anybody else. I want to see Jesus. Not that I can't see Jesus and Simon. But do you get it? I want to enter in fully into his presence. This man was not deaf. He was just blind. And he can hear something big, something great was happening around him. What's happening? You know, over the years, I've learned there's three types of people. There are those who make things happen, and then there's those that help others make it happen, and then there's a group that said, what happened? I don't know which group you're in, but today I'm hoping you'll get in the make it happen group. Living in faith requires us to use our whole being. David once wrote in Psalm 103, verses 1 to 5, he said, Let all that I am praise the Lord. With my whole heart, I will praise his holy name. Let all that I am praise the Lord. May I never forget the good things he does for me. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. He redeems me from death and crowns me with love and tender mercies. He fills my life with good things. My youth is renewed like the eagles. That's the God we serve. He's not dead. He's alive. He's alive in 2025. That ought to be our little tagline, babe, for 2025. He's alive. This blind man could not see what everybody else was seeing, but he used his being to connect with Jesus.
We can learn something from this blind man. If you can't see what God is up to in your life, if you can't see what God is up to in your life, use your heart, use your ears, use your mind, use your whole being to get to be with Jesus. Amen? All right, verse 37. They told him, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. He asked, what's happening? Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. The people near the blind men who could see said, Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Wait, wasn't Jesus born in Bethlehem? Shouldn't he? They have been saying, Jesus of Bethlehem is passing by. Yeah, he was born in Bethlehem. Wait, didn't he live in Egypt for a minute, for a spell? Yes, he did. I thought he also lived in Nazareth. He did. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 2, we read that Jesus was born in a stable in Bethlehem. Later, Joseph was warned by an angel of the Lord to take Jesus and his mother to Egypt to escape King Herod's plan to kill Jesus, the newborn king of the Jews. Then, after Herod's death, Joseph returned to the land of Israel and settled in Nazareth. None of that history meant anything to the blind man. The place Jesus was claimed to be from didn't matter. Unlike so many times, we always want to rep a different geographic part of the city. I'm an east sider, brother. I'm a west sider. We want to identify ourselves with different places geographically, but not this blind man. You see, we forget our citizenship is not here on earth. It's heaven. So why are we so worried about what part of town you're from? Didn't matter to that blind man. Verse 38, the blind man called out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Shouldn't if he had said, Jesus of Nazareth, have mercy on me? Because that's what they told him when he asked, hey, what's going on? Jesus of Nazareth is passing by. Okay, you'll hear in a moment why he didn't say that. Look at verse 39. Those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. But he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. Why was this poor blind man told to shut up? Why did this bother the parade organizers? I'll tell you why. Because this blind man knew who Jesus was and is. Maybe he heard the stories of Jesus' miracles. Maybe his dad taught him from the books of the prophets that a Messiah would come from the line of David to free his people. This man who was blind, who couldn't see, knew what those with good eyes couldn't see. This blind man knew that he was Jesus, the long-awaited heir to the throne of David. Who else can do miracles like Jesus? Who else can heal the sick, raise the dead, feed the multitudes, walk on water, calm the storms? Only Jesus, the King of glory, the Messiah. Church, you got to see that Jesus is the one who would rescue his people, and he's still in the rescuing business. Hallelujah. He comes to set his people free from the kingdom of darkness. This is King Jesus, the Son of David. But those who led the way rebuked him and told him to be quiet. You see, church, sometimes we gotta be aware that our dominant culture in society doesn't see Jesus the way you and I see him. And many times there's conflicts about how we interact with one another in society. There's ways, the society sometimes just wants us to play nice. They don't want us to rebuke or correct or call out sin. Can't you just be loving?
Isn't it loving to rescue people from the power of darkness? Isn't it loving to warn people they're headed for a cliff, they're going to fall off, they're going to be spent eternity away from Jesus? You see, people don't mind you calling Jesus the Son of God. Cults do it all the time. False religions, they call themselves sons and daughters of God. It's when you call Jesus God, the Son, that people get offended. Oh, wait a minute. Are you saying Jesus is God? Yes.
Even blind, this man saw what many didn't or wouldn't. You know what's crazy about this story? We only read of one blind man receiving his sight. I'm sure there were many others in that crowd that needed a miracle touch from Jesus. But they only saw Jesus as Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of the East Side, Jesus of the West Side.
Jesus is the King of Glory. He left his home in glory to rescue us, his people. He comes, and to as many as receive him, we become the children of God, those who believe in his name.
I don't know if this blind man learned from his parents or maybe his attendants at Shabbat and heard the promises of God that a Messiah would come. But this man, this blind man, could see clearly that Jesus was in front of him.
Church, we need to learn the lesson of this blind man, the lesson of growing in faith. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So faith comes from hearing, that is, hearing the good news about Christ. Your faith is built up, it is strengthened when you hear God's word." That's why I'm so glad you brave the cold to come and join us today. By the way, it's not that cold. I'm wearing a short sleeve shirt. Come on, man. If you've lived in Colorado any length of time, this ain't nothing. Sun's going to come out. It's going to be gorgeous. But you're here to hear the word of God. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. You need to hear God. That's what this blind man must have had in his life, because he didn't say, "Jesus of Nazareth, come and have mercy on me." He said, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus, Messiah. Jesus, the anointed one. Jesus, the one chosen to rescue and free the people of God. Have mercy on me. If you don't have a clear vision of who Jesus is, you need to spend more time in his word. It will come alive to you. Haven't you had times when you're reading your Bible during devotions and it's like a verse will jump out like, "Whoa, I've never seen that verse before. Where'd that come from? God, you're speaking to me."
So the blind man cried out, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Verses 40 to 43, Jesus stopped and ordered the man to be brought to him. When he came near, Jesus asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Have you ever had those times where, like, man, if I ever had that question, I better make sure I get my right answer, you know? "Honey, how much do we need? What's our bills like these days? Lord, I need $22,642.63. I don't want to waste that question from the Lord on not getting it right. Lord, this little toe on my right foot, it is an ugly thing. God, would you make it?" I oftentimes think, man, if I was ever in this situation where I felt the presence of God was there and God was saying, "Son, what do you want? What is it you want? Ask and it'll be given to you." My go-to prayer is, "God, Kathy and I, we have 7 kids, 17 grandkids. We have a huge family. I want them to know you, Lord. I want them to know your love, because the Bible says we love God because he first loved us. Lord, would you allow my kids to see you and follow you and trust you?" I could care less if we die with debt, If we die with debt, that's on someone else. You know, Colorado has a no recourse of law anyway, so my kids are off the hook and whatever. If I die with an ugly toe on my right foot, you're not going to see it anyway. But my kids, my grandkids, I want them to know Jesus. How would you answer the Lord when he says, what do you want me to do for you?
This blind man said, Lord, I want to see.
There's something to be said about that sense of sight that God has blessed us with that I think many times we take for granted, especially living here in Colorado. Man, if you're not pulling over while you're driving and just admiring the front range, looking at just the hogback and then the mountains behind it, snow-capped peaks. Man, sometimes there's a place near my house on 80th and Oakwood. It's got this beautiful vantage point. Sometimes I'll pull over and I'll be bawling. I was thinking to myself, someone's going to call the cops. We got this weird, overweight, 6-foot Mexican crying. He's probably going to do something crazy. You know, in our society, that is kind of crazy. But I will pull over, and I'm amazed when I look at the creation that God has made. And I just say, God, if you could do that, you can certainly take care of me. He's going to take care of you. This blind man, he wanted to see. Jesus replied in verse 42, receive your sight. But this is important, what he says next. Your faith has healed you. Oh man, church. We live in a Burger King society kind of way of thinking that if I can't get it my way right now, I'm out. I'm bouncing. Isn't that how it is sometimes? Sometimes we view God as if he's here to serve you. He's your butler. What do you want, son, today? Faith is an expression of our life, and it shows up in the way we talk. It shows up in the way we walk. It shows up in the way we interact with one another. Faith is, the Bible says, it's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. Faith is the powerhouse. Faith is the essence of which we receive anything from God. We may have employed it when we first got saved. We said yes to an unseen God to invite us to be a part of his family, but then we left it right there at that altar. We never considered that faith needed to go with us when we walked out of the church. Faith needed to go with us when we got home. Faith needed to go with us when we went to work or interacted with others. Faith is built by hearing God's word. This man, he received a blessing because he engaged his faith. Remember, the people were saying, this is Jesus of Nazareth. He said, oh, yeah, he may have lived in that apartment in Nazareth for a minute, but this is Jesus, the son of David, the long-awaited heir to the throne, King of glory. He knew who Jesus was. In 2025, you're going to have to hold on to your knowledge of who Jesus is. I don't know what's going to happen today, tomorrow, the next month. We just don't know what's going to happen in our lives. But you got to know whatever happens, the King of glory is there to lead you. Hallelujah. Verse 43, immediately. Say that word with me. Immediately, he received his sight. The Bible says he followed Jesus, praising God. When all the people saw it, they also praised God. This blind man who wanted to see, received his sight, following Jesus and praising God. I don't know about you, But whatever you face in 2025 will be a whole lot better if you face it following Jesus and praising his holy name. Amen? All right, so let's summarize. What have we learned from this blind man? What can we see that this blind man saw that can help prepare us for 2025? Number one, we need to be praying. Pray to see what God wants you to do this year. Pray to be prepared. You know, our pastor, Pastor Andrew Tyson at Redeemer Temple, he says, lately he's been on this series and he titled it, I Don't Get Ready, I Stay Ready. Now, I know there's been some rappers that have used that line and some actors, but I like his idea. His sentiment is that we are going to stay ready for whatever God has for us in 2025. One way to stay ready and to be ready is to pray. Number two, let all that makes you, you, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord with your whole heart and your whole being. Praise his holy name no matter what happens to you in 2025. Use your whole being to praise the Lord. Three, search the scriptures daily to learn of Jesus our Lord. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7. In fact, I used this last Thursday at the Fresh Start class. The Apostle Paul says, and now, just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. Let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Wow. Spend time in God's word. Let God speak to you. And lastly, follow Jesus. Throughout 2025, may it be said of you that you follow the Lord. What is it you want from Jesus this morning? I felt like the Lord was saying that he wanted to heal his people today, just like this blind man. I don't know if we have anybody here that is blind. You know, the last time I came and shared, I was with Simon in the prayer room before service started, and I heard the guys warming up and practicing. They were amazing. And the drummer just was blowing me away. So he walked by me, and I held out my fist to fist bump in, and he just walked right past me. I'm like, oh, okay, praise the Lord. Simon goes, he's blind. Told him, hey, he's got his hand out to fist bump you, and he did that. God can still heal blind people. Or what is it you need from the Lord? This morning, you see the worship team is up here. I want to invite you. If it's okay, Simon, can I invite the congregation? If you have a need from the Lord, would you come forward that we might be able to pray for you? I'm going to pray that you will do these things that I said earlier, that you will be a person of prayer, that you're going to let your whole being praise the Lord, and you're going to search God's scriptures daily, and you're going to follow him. But is there a need you have this morning? I believe Jesus is here. There was a commotion going on this morning when we were worshiping the Lord. The presence of the King entered this sanctuary. He's here. I just want to pray for you. If you have a prayer need, I want to invite you to come up now. I'm going to let Simon, maybe you could do a kind of a song in this transition period, and then I'm going to pray. And then I'm going to turn it over to Simon, and I'll be done. But here's your opportunity, saints. What is it you want from the Lord? We sang about being abandoned and consumed by him. He wants to bless you. What is it you need or want? I want you to come. I'm inviting you to come. Thank you, brother. Anybody need something from Jesus? Come on. Simon's going to lead us in a song, and then when he's ready, I will come up and I'm going to pray for all of you. I will let God have his way. Amen. Church, would you stretch forth your hands to these that have come I don't know what all of their needs may be, but he does. And would you join their faith? And as we ask the Lord to touch and heal them, Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you're doing in the lives of your people. We thank you for your power. Your word says your ear is not deaf, that you cannot hear us. Your arm is not short, that you cannot reach us. Heavenly Father, we're asking that you would stretch forth your hand from heaven, King of glory, nails, scarred hands. Would you reach down and touch these that have come before your altar? We come before your presence to heal, restore, renew, to set free. In Jesus' name we ask. Father, we want to say thank you. I pray, Lord, that from this moment on, these that have come forward would see life differently. They would not see life as it was or is, but they would see as you want them to be experiencing abundant life. Father, bless these precious saints that have come forward. Thank you for this congregation. Heavenly Father, I bless this church. I know Simon's going to come up and give the Hebrew blessing. But God, I bless this church and thank you for the opportunity to come and share your amazing word. Continue to move, we pray, Father, for your glory and honor. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And the church said, amen, Simon.
Amen.
Would you lead us?
Amen. Can we just thank Pastor Phil for being here and for blessing us today? Amen.